Do you love comic books? Are you looking for a way to help out the Infamous Podcast? Then we have the thing for you. Go to infamouspodcast.com/comixology, click on the link, sign up for your free trial of Comixology Unlimited, and you'll help out the show. That's infamouspodcast.com/comixology.
Hey, welcome to episode number 129 of the Infamous Podcast. I'm Brian.
This is Johnny.
And this week we're talking about what it is when your telephone and your TV and your computer are turned off.
The Black Mirror?
The Black Mirror, that's right. All right, but before we do that, we got some news to cover since, you know,
you
stuff
like your
happens.
You like your news bites.
All right, so Chris Hemsworth. Was in the news a little bit.
Yeah.
He finished on Avengers 4.
Okay.
He wrapped. His time on Avengers 4 is done. And with that, his contract is up with the MCU.
Okay.
So it's interesting. He has said he wants to come back. He said they haven't approached him yet, which I don't know why he's out there saying, I want to come back, because all of a sudden he's not in a, you know, super strong.
We don't
strong.
Have to offer you as much
yeah.
money.
Oh, yeah. Oh, you want to do this? Oh.
Okay.
You
okay.
want to do this nonsense? Well then, sir.
Because he wants to do a Thor Wolverine movie.
Yeah, does he?
Yeah, sure.
Well, Hugh Jackman's done with Wolverine, though. He's not coming back.
You know what? You flash enough cash.
I mean, if you put enough money up there, but I think, you know, he wants to do other stuff, and who can blame him?
Hugh Jackman will come back when they say Thor and the Hulk.
Ooh,
and he'll be like, okay.
And the Thing.
And the Thing.
And the Thing. But, yeah,
we'll finally get a decent Thing if they actually bring them into the fold.
Liam Hemsworth is the Thing.
No, no. Chiklis could come back and play the voice, but it's
all
gotta
have
be a CG
be an all
thing.
CG character.
Yeah. But Chiklis could wear the suit like, Ruffalo does.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah.
Oh yeah. The Mark Ruffalo
wear the
wears.
Suit, yeah. Just wear the suit and, you know. Because Chiklis was good. I like Chiklis as a Thing.
He understood the Thing because he was a fan of the Thing.
You know, so. Yeah.
But, all right. So, I mean, with Thor, obviously we want him to come back. Like, with
Do
Hemsworth.
We?
I mean, maybe. I don't
maybe
know.
Maybe they should just cast Liam Hemsworth as Thor now.
You think?
Yeah, why not?
Liam Hemsworth.
The newer, younger upgrade.
Well, who's the, what's the, which Hemsworth is on Westworld?
The one that played Thor.
He's the security guard. Yeah,
he's Thor and Ragnarok.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the oldest one. That's Luke.
Oh, Luke is the oldest one.
Luke's
okay.
the oldest one, and I think Chris is the middle one, okay. and Liam is the young.
Because, I mean, Luke was a pretty convincing Thor in Loki's play. So, just saying. Anyway.
Why not do a movie where all three of them play Thor at a certain part of the movie?
That would be hilarious. But, you know, I mean, it's really...
Oh, they could do the God Killer story.
Ooh.
And they could have Liam play younger version,
yeah.
Chris play modern version, and Luke play the...
The War Thor.
Yeah, the War Thor.
Nice. Nice. I like it. I like it a lot.
If that happens, at least give me a, like, red carpet ticket to the Los Angeles premiere. Yeah.
I mean, it's not, like, a big story. He's going to get re-signed, you know.
God Killer would be a good movie, though.
Yeah. I think they need to do one more Thor movie to kind of set
yeah.
a God Killer movie up, but absolutely.
Yeah.
I don't think you could just throw in, is it Gore?
Was yeah, Gore. Yeah.
I don't think you could just throw Gore into a movie. I think you would have to like subtly introduce him and
sure.
then do a movie about him, just because that's way too comic booky for mainstream people.
Yeah.
But anyway, it's interesting. So
or they just do the opening like they've done on every Thor movie, where except
yeah.
for this Thor movie, where they, you know, talked about... Well, yeah, and the Dark World. Well, Dark World was set up good because they explained mm-hmm. the villain, and then you know you knew the story ahead of time.
Yeah,
so they could do that with Gore.
Yeah, yes. And then other MCU news is, I guess they're moving forward with the Black Widow script or something like that.
Oh, I didn't hear about that.
It came out late last night, where they might be doing a Black Widow movie.
They don't have to at this point.
I personally feel like it's about 5 years too late for
yeah.
that.
Yeah. If you were going to do it, you should have like not let that Jennifer Lawrence movie be made. And
The Red Room?
Yeah, the
or
Red...
Or whatever
the,
it's called. Red,
the Red Viper. I mean, you know, just throw a name out there
yeah.
with a color.
But yeah, no, I mean, that's Black Widow's
the
origin.
Orange orangutan.
But I saw all these people online saying, oh, they should do a Black Widow origin. It's like, no, the less we know about her, you know, in the MCU is better.
If you're going to do a Black Widow movie, do a Black Widow Hawkeye movie of how they met.
Yeah.
Give us the background of their friendship,
but then
and why
do,
they are such good
friends. You
can't
do Jeremy Renner as Hawkeye at that point. You have to that's recast
fine.
With the younger
actor. You
have
to recast Scarlett Johansson, too.
But, yeah, I think they do maybe, I don't know. I think
I don't
of,
need a Black Widow movie.
I don't need it.
I don't
yeah.
need it.
Like, I love the
I'd
character.
I'd take a Hawkeye movie over a Black Widow movie.
I don't need that either.
And I don't need that. So, well, that's what I'm saying. I don't need either of them.
But yeah,
they're good in the Avengers.
I don't need
they're
a Vision
good in
movie.
Well, yeah, they're good in Captain America's movies.
I mean, you look at like Scarlett Johansson in Black Widow through the MCU, right?
Yeah,
we were introduced to her in Iron Man 2,
right?
And she was great. She's one of the best parts of that movie. Which there aren't a lot of best parts of that movie.
And I like that movie.
It's not. Yeah, I mean, it's the weakest of the Iron Man movies.
It's not the weakest of the Iron Man movies.
Come
on. Come on, Iron Man 3.
I like Iron Man 3.
Ben Kingsley is wasted.
I don't disagree with that, but...
That ruins the whole movie. That ruined the whole movie. It did. It seriously ruined the whole movie.
Okay. I'm sorry for that.
And the whole thing with... what's her name? Getting superpowers.
Oh, she had superpowers for like 2 minutes.
She still had them. Well, and they can use that as a story ploy at some point.
Maybe. Oh, where Tony didn't get all the extremis out.
Yeah, didn't get it all out. So now she's, you know, she can control his armor and all that shit.
Okay.
No.
I don't think they will, but.
Everybody gets ridiculous sometime.
They do. You're right.
No, I don't need a Black Widow movie. I don't need a Hawkeye movie. I don't really need a Hulk movie at this point.
Well, I don't think they can even do a Hulk movie.
They can't do a Hulk movie because of Universal, but when they buy Universal, it'll be fine. it'll be fine. That would be awesome. Disney would own the Universal Monsters and Universal Parks.
Ooh. Spider-Man versus Godzilla.
Orlando would literally become like a Disney park.
There you go. I like it.
A roller coaster that goes from Hollywood Studios to Universal Park.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I had to like work that out in my head where those were, but
yeah,
that would be a fun
yeah,
ride.
Exactly. That'd so. Be like the longest roller coaster ever. But, you know, ever. Come ride the hour-long roller coaster. If you puke, you lose.
All right. And then sticking with the MCU, a new trailer, teaser, whatever for Black Panther dropped. Showed a little bit more. We got some more, it's nothing spoilery. We got a little more of Claw in there. We got a lot more of Killmonger with Michael B. Jordan, which
I'm kind of disappointed that the figure doesn't have a Michael B. Jordan head.
Yeah, that it's.
I mean, the Killmonger figure looks awesome. Like I've seen it,
right?
And it looks awesome. But I'm like, I think a Michael B. Jordan head.
I don't know. Like I like the look of him. Like with all like
the gold,
the whatever is on his chest there, like if it's like scarring or
oh, you mean when he's not wearing
yeah
the
when
armor.
He's not wearing the armor.
That's like a lot of tribes do that in Africa where they put the pieces underneath the skin and
I mean, but he looks so cool. And we've talked about this. I'm a huge Michael B. Jordan fan.
Yeah.
I've loved that guy ever since he was on The Wire as Wallace as a little kid. He's just. Yeah, he's awesome.
Like I said, I'm glad they got him.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad that, like, you know, we can forget about Johnny Storm.
Vanforstick.
Yeah.
Which you just tried to get me to buy.
No, I was going to buy it for you, just like on meanness.
It's a Razzie present.
I have to terrorize people every once in a while.
Is that my Krampus gift?
Yeah, that would be a Krampus gift.
But, Chadwick Boseman.
I could do it's my birthday, I'm buying everybody shitty gifts.
There you go.
Start a new tradition. What don't you want? That's what you're getting for my birthday.
What would you not like this year? But, Chadwick Boseman is perfect
for
T'Challa. Perfect. Like, I liked him in Civil War a lot, and just the little bit that I've seen of him as
Black Panther
stepping
with his sister.
Stepping into the king role.
Yeah.
This is going to be a really interesting movie. It looks great. I think... It's a sci-fi.
Yeah.
It's more of a sci-fi film than they're letting on.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, it just, I don't know, like, how they have to tie into Infinity War somehow, and they're not showing us that, rightfully so.
It's that last gem that everybody's
like. Do you think it's in Wakanda?
I think it's in Wakanda.
Okay.
I think that's why in the Infinity War preview, the army is attacking Wakanda, and, you know, the Wakandan Avengers. Now it's like, you know, I have an army, Loki, you know, I have an army, and now it's like Cap can go, well, I've got one too.
I've got a Black Widow, I've got a Scarlet Witch,
I've got a Hulk, I've got a Wakandan army.
I've got a Falcon, I've got a Black Panther, I've got all the animals covered.
Insects in this and war. Animals.
Yeah. I've got a Spider-Man. I've got a man who irons.
No, see, Spider-Man's part of the New York Avengers.
True.
Yeah. I'm glad that instead of West Coast, East Coast, it's Wakandan Avengers and New York Avengers. Yeah. That's what it'll be.
So, but this movie looks, like I said, it looks awesome.
Be the Avengers.
Yeah. No, they'll be the Ravengers.
Oh, is that what they're going to
be? They're
going
to take Thor's name from Ragnarok.
Yeah, there you go.
Anyway. All right, and then the last thing, a bunch of TV shows got picked up already.
Yeah, I've seen that.
The Orville got picked up for a second season, which isn't new. It's been out there for a little bit, but since we're talking about pickups. An interesting thing, the show that was supposed to be the first season finale is getting pushed to be the second season premiere.
Of Orville?
Of the Orville.
Oh, wow.
So I think there's a couple more episodes that are going to air. I don't think, because I think it was only like 17 episodes that they shot.
Okay.
So it wasn't like a full 22 episode season.
So will they wait until the fall?
Yeah.
They're going to wait until the fall.
So anyway, it's done well in the ratings. It's a good show. I don't know if you've watched any of it or not, but I really enjoyed
it. Episode.
The pilot wasn't great. The second episode was real preachy. Or no, the third episode was real preachy, but the rest of them have been really enjoyable. And I think it was in the sixth episode when Charlize Theron was on, fifth or sixth.
Yeah.
Like, it really found its footing, and it's not like the slapstick, like, oh, hey, we're trying to be a funny version.
Oh, okay.
Or we're trying to be Galaxy Quest. It's really just an interesting little
That's kind of what the first episode felt like. It was trying to be more Galaxy Quest than Star Trek.
It's just this interesting little sci-fi show that pays a lot of homage to Star Trek.
So. Well, because he's a fan of Star Trek, so.
Mm-hmm. So, and did you watch any of Discovery yet?
No.
So that got picked up for a second season, too. I don't have that on.
Well, yeah, and I seen the people ripping it apart. That came back this week.
Yeah, it's something about the mirror universe.
Oh, the whole ship's stuck in the mirror universe.
Yeah, because didn't you say that?
I thought that they might have been a parallel universe that wasn't the Kelvin timeline to explain the Klingons and their uniforms and the technology, you know, which would make sense and could be done because there's multiple timelines in the Star Trek universe. But I guess at the end of the episode, right before the break, the ship had something happen with that spore drive or whatever. Oh. Excuse me. And now they're trapped in the mirror universe, and they actually call it the mirror.
Okay.
Which pissed people off even more.
Yeah, because they don't.
Well, in Deep Space Nine, they always said the alternate.
Yeah.
You know, everything's alternate, or you know, and they're. It's weird because it's like, if this is supposed to take place, you know, in that Star Trek universe, the Prime.
Right.
Even the uniforms in the mirror universe are wrong.
Right.
And it's like, okay. But I heard it was like a well-paced episode because Jonathan Frakes directed it.
Okay.
So it was well done in that sense. But just people were like, you know, a show is bad when they have to use the mirror universe in the first season as a ploy.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, yeah. Yeah, and I heard there was a big reveal about one of the characters in that, which I don't know anything about anybody. I have not. Once the show's like, you know, done, I might do the free and just watch the first season and
do the week and just binge it all. But I'm not. So I watched the first season of The Expanse.
Yeah,
it's really good.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. So. The Gifted got picked up since we're staying with Fox.
Yeah, I haven't watched
the first season. The Gifted so far has been really, really good. The X-Men, they mentioned the X-Men quite a bit, and they've just vanished somehow.
Right. They're in the Shi'ar Empire fighting.
Yeah, who knows? But it's really interesting. The way that they're dealing with like mutant power sets, and then combinations of power right. sets is like a new thing. Like if you combine this power and this power, you get this power.
Okay.
Which hasn't really been done
that's,
a lot.
Yeah, that's weird.
But they introduced the purifiers and
wow, okay.
you know, just a lot of like really like deep cuts.
They haven't introduced the Morlocks or anything yet though.
No, not yet. I mean,
you know
I
that
mean,
you know that's coming.
They're
that'll
kind
be,
of. I mean, yeah. But like the Cuckoos are there.
Oh, okay.
And, you know, all three of them. Which
so they
is
can
really
borrow.
Cool.
They can borrow anything from any X-Men.
It looks
property,
like, yeah.
I guess. Yeah, that's interesting.
So, you know, Polaris is the main character, or one
right,
of the main
yeah.
characters. You know, you got John Proudstar
right.
And all that. And
yeah, I mean, the first episode I really liked. I just haven't had the time.
It's
I
well worth it. It's all
I haven't
on
had
Hulu.
The time to watch Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., yeah. and it's like been back for 7 episodes now.
S.H.I.E.L.D.'s
so.
Been good, too.
So. Yeah.
All right, so then a couple of Hulu shows. Future Ann got picked up for a second season.
Yeah, I haven't
which,
watched that at all.
That show was hilarious. It's like 8 episodes.
Yeah.
They're half hour each. It was, it's fun. It's kind of crazy. It's creepy. There's an episode.
No, we're in that after Christmas season.
Yeah.
Things calm down a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Yeah.
Retail world.
Retail. But it's a.
I'm not so tired.
Yeah. It's cool because they did some really interesting episodes where they would do like. Focus on different things than what you would expect.
Yeah.
Which is always fun. And there was one where the one wolf character got stuck in the 80s.
Oh, okay.
And it was his, like, rise and fall of fame in the 80s
that
oh, they followed.
Wow, okay.
And, you know, it was really hilarious because he's from this future where there's no food. They eat rats and, you know.
Oh, wow.
Like, you know, they call, like, they're like, hey, shut your rat hole. That's
yeah.
your mouth. you know, instead of, like, your cake
sure,
hole
yeah.
or something like that. And he becomes this like celebrity chef, and it's like
nice.
Really funny. And like his restaurant is awesome. And I'm not gonna spoil it for you, but yeah, and
lots
then,
of food with rats involved.
Yeah,
I'm
exactly.
Sure.
And then the Runaways got picked up for
well,
a second
that,
season.
I mean,
the season finale just happened this week. As of recording this, there's 10 episodes. They're all about 40 minutes long. It's a really good show.
We'll probably talk about it in a couple weeks.
Yeah, it really makes me.
Now that it's done, I didn't want to watch it until it was actually
yeah.
all on there, so I could.
Because they did the first 3, and then
right.
the next 7 weeks they finished it out. It really shows some of the errors that the CW is doing right now.
Oh, okay.
Because you have these kids, and then you have adults,
right?
And the way they interact, and the way the kids are, like the kids aren't too adult, but they're
right.
not kids, and they're not super angsty, and you know,
okay.
I mean, they're
yeah.
angsty because they're teenage superheroes, but.
Right.
You know, or burgeoning teenage superheroes.
Right.
The effects look really good. The whole cast is really good. Old Lace, the Raptor.
Oh, they actually used the Raptor?
Is so, it looks, she looks
nice.
so good.
Nice. I didn't know they used the Raptor. They
yeah.
don't show that in any of the previews or anything.
No, and it's not like a spoiler.
Right.
And the way Old Lace comes into
but,
play
I mean, if
is
you
really
read the
cool.
book,
yeah.
then you know that the Raptor's right. there. But it's like, you know, in the previews, it's like, if I was going to sell that show, why wouldn't I show the dinosaur?
The reveal of the dinosaur is pretty cool.
Yeah.
Not, but, like, I think knowing that there's a dinosaur and then revealing the dinosaur doesn't take away from
right.
the shock value of when she shows up. It differs from the book, but it has
well,
to.
Oh, sure. Is Brian... Kayvon involved?
He's part of it. He's a
okay.
producer. So,
okay.
Which, who knows what level of involvement
right.
he has, whether it's your producer, here's a paycheck, or your producer,
well,
what
I would
do you think,
like, with him working on Lost and that they'd have him in the yeah. writer's room at least, you know, what do you think about this type thing?
All of the adult actors, for the most part, are, I know them, I know him, I know her from...
I know James Marsters is
well,
there.
James
but...
Marsters is there. Kip Pardue.
Oh, yeah?
From, what was the
Remember the Titans?
The Remember the Titans,
yeah.
yeah. He's in there. The Cole from Charmed, Julian McMahon.
Oh, okay, Dr. Doom.
Yeah, Dr.
Yeah.
Doom.
Is he playing Dr. Doom?
No, kind of. Ryan Sands, he's been in a bunch of stuff.
Okay.
He was on The Wire.
Yeah.
He's really
the name's
good.
Familiar.
And then just like all the other actors.
But I mean, like casting
the
Marsters
tech guy
and Julian
from,
Glover.
Yeah. Do you remember Alias?
Yeah.
The tech guy. Marshall, I think was
oh, yeah,
his name.
Yeah, yeah,
he's
yeah.
in it.
Yeah.
And then Bridget Branagh or whatever is his wife,
okay.
or Birdow or something. She's the redhead.
The redhead.
She's got
yeah.
curly red
yeah.
hair. The
They're using everybody from the late 90s, yeah, early 2000s that was pretty much on everything.
Yeah, the one doctor from Lost, the Asian doctor who was in all the videos.
Oh, yeah.
He's in it.
Francois Chow, I think, and then his name.
His wife, she's... I haven't looked at that in
Are all these
minute,
playing all, the adults?
They're all
the
playing
parents?
The adults, yeah.
They're all the parents.
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
And the kids, I haven't
seen...
Well,
see, that makes me look forward to watching it more because I like Marsters.
Yeah.
And Julian Glover, like, is a fun villain.
Yeah.
Like, he's campy.
Yeah.
Enough. And then Francois...
It's Julie McMahon.
McMahon, yeah.
Yeah, not
sorry,
Glover. Julian Glover's a different actor.
Meister Pycelle.
Yes.
Yeah.
But
yeah, I like those. Like, I like because he was on Charmed and he played the villain on Charmed, and like he was always kind
and
of
he was
a
on Nip Tuck. He's a lot
villain.
Like his character on Nip Tuck in a way. His Christian Troy character.
But his Doctor Doom wasn't that bad either. Mm-hmm. I mean,
it was just a bad script.
Yeah,
bad dialogue, bad story, and you know that the acting was actually the best part of that movie. Yeah. Even Jessica Alba was good. Yeah. So, I mean, she's super pretty, and
they,
you know,
they worked with
what
they had.
She's good
at
what she does, but acting is not.
They worked well with what they had.
Anyway, so yeah, so lots of cool stuff.
I could see we're going to be talking about the Fantastic Four for an episode. You want to talk about bad movies for episodes?
Oh yeah. Well, it's more of I want to talk about like. So guys, let's know. Like, I had this idea that when we were sitting in the kitchen getting ready,
we're gonna drop cover up and do.
Just like pick a bad movie that had like some sort of drama on the set.
Yeah.
And like really like kind of talk about it and to be like dig in and like figure out why. Like, you know, and
why
and
we like the movie.
Why we like
what the
movie,
hell happened.
Why is it bad?
Yeah.
Why did it turn bad?
Yeah.
Like, you know, I was talking about The Postman and
Waterworld.
Waterworld
yeah.
By all stretches of the imagination, Waterworld should have been a good movie.
Yeah. And it's not a bad movie.
It's not a bad movie. And it's honestly like if Aquaman is as good as Waterworld, I'll be okay. You know?
Wow. Maybe Aquaman learns from the mistakes of Waterworld.
I don't know. But if James Wan's Aquaman is as good as Waterworld,
yeah,
I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
Like, if it's better, I don't think it will
then,
be.
Then we're going to have to.
It'll
yeah
be different. Anyway. All right. So
we'll figure out how to do that episode.
Let's get to Black Mirror Season 4.
Sure.
You binged it all the other day.
Over a period of 3 days.
Okay, yeah, I binged it over a period of a couple days as well.
I think I watched it Monday, Tuesday, or Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, something like that.
Do you want to go in the episode order?
Yeah,
or
we
do
can
you
want
to do least favorite to favorite?
How do you want to do?
Let's
we
do
should
least
have
favorite
talked about
favorite
that beforehand.
Well, I just thought of it. Let's do least favorite to
well
favorite.
Why don't we just do it in order and tell what we like our
sure?
on a scale of 1 to 10.
Okay, okay.
Yeah, because that way we can just go down and. Because you might have liked something more than I liked it.
I did like it. I think I liked
yeah
at least one more than you did. Okay.
Archangel.
So USS Callister
yes
was the first episode.
I think this was a good way to introduce the season,
it
too.
It really was. And it was the most American cast
well,
they've
and
ever
it was
had.
All the controversy with Orville. Mm-hmm. All the controversy with Discovery.
Yeah.
And then we get this. And it's like, wait a minute. This is kind of like a smart way to do that.
One, it was funny because it was the most American cast they've had on a single series or a single episode.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
like they'll have an American here and there, but they haven't really done like a full American cast
right
like this.
Well, yeah, Jimmy Simpson and I forgot his name already.
Jesse Plemons.
Yeah, Jesse Plemons.
And then the mom from How I Met Your Mother.
Is that who she
yeah
is? Okay, yeah. I was like, you know, she's familiar because she's been in other things too, so
yep.
I don't know her name.
Yeah,
but
she's been in lots of stuff. Christine, where is it? Kristen Milioti.
Okay.
Yeah, you got Jimmy Simpson, Michael Cole.
Which I like. Jimmy Simpson shows up and stuff, and I'm just like, oh, cool, that guy. I like
I
that
love
guy.
Jimmy Simpson.
He was on Person of Interest.
Was he?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
He was on a show on A&E called Breakout Kings, which was really good.
Yeah.
Because
oh, yeah,
him.
I remember that.
And then he's great in Westworld.
So
he was on Bones.
Person of
you know,
Interest.
Kind of stuff.
Like each episode has a different.
I'm gonna have to watch
story
Person of Interest.
But
it.
he's in an episode where he's picked his number's picked.
Okay.
But then at the end of the series, the last season, there's a twist with him
oh
that makes his character even cooler.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Something that I didn't see coming. So I was like, oh, cool.
Nice.
Yeah.
So what I liked about this episode was the game versus reality.
Yeah.
And how he's like, hey, get me a coffee. And the guy's like, get it yourself.
Yeah.
And then you go back into the game. You don't realize necessarily what's happening. And then how spoilery do we want
to be? Let's just spoil it.
Okay. And then to figure out, like, so you see him in the game with these characters who are like following orders.
Yeah.
And, you know.
Like, well, and at the beginning, you're like, what is this?
Yeah.
It's like at the very beginning, you're like, what is this really? And then when it's like, you know, he goes out of it, you're like, oh, okay. So it's some kind of RPG.
Again, you think that, okay, all these people are playing with him.
Yeah.
But like, no.
Yeah, when you start seeing them, when he comes into the office,
yeah,
and you start seeing the people, right, you're like, oh, so those are the people that were in the game with him.
Now, are and they actors? Like, well, at first it's like, are they actors? Yeah. Are they this? Are they that? And no. And then
when
to learn that he's stolen their DNA.
That was disturbing.
And found a way to put them into the game.
When that DNA thing didn't even like, that was like midway through the episode.
Oh, it was way
like,
near the
I'm
end.
Like, why? How did he get their personalities in there? In the first place, is like what you're thinking. And then when they show what he does with the DNA, right, it's like, okay, yeah, this guy's really like...
Yeah, I mean, he's a creep.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you want to talk about overstepping bounds.
Without even people's knowledge. That's the worst part.
Well, and so what he's done is he's created living avatars of the people he works with that he then torments because they're all mean to him.
Yeah.
Because he's an asshole.
Right. Well, it's because, you know... What him and Jimmy Simpson's characters in the real world, right, made this company called Callister, based their name's based after a Star Trek series, right, that he watched as a kid, and he's a fanboy of it, and literally he's the brains of the operation,
right?
And Jimmy Simpson is the face of the operation.
Jimmy Simpson is the Steve Jobs to Jesse Plemons, Steve Wozniak.
Yeah, there you go.
So if you want to look at it that way,
but it's one of those things where he's probably been bullied his entire life. Jimmy Simpson pretty much is bullying him, and then other people just don't respect him because
there's
of it.
No respect for him.
They literally, like, you know, he's just a bug on the wall type thing,
which is funny because he turns them into bugs as a punishment, which was interesting.
And then the new girl comes in,
and
she's a fan of his.
Oh, she's a total fan.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And it's funny because she has a hard time accepting what's going on.
Like, just in the job?
Well, just, like, she doesn't believe it's real.
Well, talk about the real-world version versus the VR version. We'll call it VR version. The real-world version is taken aback that people treat him the way they do,
right,
because she has such respect for him.
Right.
And, you know, eventually he hears her talking to one of the people who's in his game, and I think he feels like she disses him.
Yeah.
And so he takes her DNA and puts it in the game.
Right.
And it goes really bad from there for him.
Yeah.
So I liked her in both versions as the fish out of water in the regular version. And then as the, you know what, you don't mess with me.
Right.
In that version. Because it's like, it shows that she has a stronger character than she's showing in the real world.
Yeah.
Kind of like him. Jesse Plemons' character is the same way. He is a strong character. He just can't stand up for himself.
Right.
So he has to be a bully to machines, pretty much.
Yeah. It looked great. The effects were good. The set was good.
So that's why I wanted to ask you about the bridge, because you complained about the orb.
Yeah, the bridge of the USS Callister is better than the bridge on the orb.
I was going to say, for a one-shot episode, like, that I see now they want to do a spinoff of this.
Really?
I guess there's talks that they want to do some kind of spinoff.
Only if they get Aaron Paul.
Yeah. Yeah. Just not, but he can't be on screen ever.
No, just his voice.
Just his voice. But,
and he,
like,
can't ever say bitch.
He has to say bitch. That's in his contract. But so, it was one of those things where it's like, when it got to, you know, the manipulation part of it.
Right.
It's like, she totally, like, manipulated herself.
Yeah, she was sending herself text messages.
Like,
and
I remember these pictures I took. They should still be on my phone.
Yeah.
And it was like, okay.
That was interesting.
The best part was they're going through the pictures, and they won't stop, and it gets worse, I guess, as they're watching.
Because
look at it. She goes,
faces.
Okay, you can stop looking
their
now.
Their faces. They're like, oh.
It's like, you can stop looking.
Oh,
now.
Girl. Oh, honey.
And they're like, I like how they were like, that's the one we use.
Yeah.
It's like, okay.
So they're in the game, right?
Yeah.
And they're, so when he leaves the game, they pause. Like, they're, the simulation pauses.
Yeah, but
they can still move around
and
they talk to each other and all of that. But they don't have power, so the ship can't move
right.
and that kind of stuff.
They're just chilling out.
So their plan was ingenious.
Yeah.
And then understanding that there was an update that was happening because they were able to get a message out and he found out about it.
Right.
So he was doing a patch.
Well,
and
she
I love
knew
the idea,
about the update.
And I love the idea that the update was a wormhole.
Yeah.
You know, it just made... It was just neat, you know?
Yeah.
It could have been something else, but just make it a wormhole, you know? But that last little bit at the end, did you for a second at all think they weren't going to make it?
Well, before that,
oh,
the story about Jimmy Simpson's character's
oh, with
son
the kid, yeah,
that was just like
this is horrifying.
It's like you thought Jesse Plemons' character was bad, mm-hmm. but when they show what he did to his kid and spacing him,
yeah,
it's like he's like worse than I thought he was. And then I'm like, just kill him at
yeah,
that point.
Just kill him.
Yeah, and it's like they pretty much did.
So you think he died?
I think that he's stuck.
Yeah.
He's just stuck in his program.
Yeah.
And that, which is worse than death, yeah. really. But did I think that they were going to make it? Yes, I thought they would make it.
I thought for a second there it looked like, because like Black Mirror is not always about the happy ending.
Right, yeah.
And I don't think that, well, I mean, this had a pseudo happy ending.
Yeah.
Because they were able to get all the DNA from the real world.
Right.
Away from him, so he doesn't have that.
Yep.
Then he was left trapped
yep.
in the game, and they made it through. And now they're in the game,
yeah,
as NPCs essentially,
right?
But that are just free thinking.
Well, right. That's where I'm like, this is a perfect setup for like even a mini series.
So if they
type
die.
Thing.
In the game,
they
is
regenerate.
Will they regenerate?
Yeah, I think they'll regenerate.
Okay.
Like Jimmy Simpson's character doesn't die.
I guess he was there
yeah,
on the end.
He was still
he?
Alive,
yeah.
but
yeah.
it's like, you know, eventually he'll grow back.
Yeah.
And that, but like, oops,
oh, sorry, that was my foot.
Yeah.
Quit playing footsies with me, Johnny.
Sure. But yeah, I think that, you know, it would be an interesting, like, even as a mini series
yeah.
type thing to do. Let's see what's out there. Type the let's see what's out there thing at the end was like, you know, she didn't say it, but I'm like, oh, that's Star Trek straight up right there.
Engage.
Yeah.
So this
don't call me Captain.
Yeah. Like,
you know, literally, she's like, don't call me Captain.
Yeah. The runtime for this was 1 hour and 16 minutes, which is about 30 minutes longer than most
mm-hmm.
Black Mirror episodes. And I think it worked for this one.
Well, it was I think this was intentionally going to be the Christmas special, and
yeah,
it just turned out to be the first episode.
Okay.
Because there's a lot of Christmas.
Yeah,
in
there
it.
Is. You're right. You're right.
Yeah.
All right. So what do you rank this?
This one was an 8 out of 10.
Okay.
And the only reason it got an 8 out of 10 is because this is the Barclay episode of Star Trek The Next Generation.
Yeah.
Take
I guess
it to
it
the
is.
Bad.
Yeah.
Take it to the worst extremes.
I think I would go. I'd probably do 8.5.
Yeah.
I'd go a little bit higher.
Yeah.
Enjoyed it, definitely. It got it kicked the season off on the right note.
Yeah, I think it
But yeah, okay, cool. One thing is whenever Kristen Milani shows up, it just makes me really mad at How I Met Your Mother.
Okay.
Did you ever watch
that
show?
No.
It's a really good show. You and Elvis should watch it. You'd enjoy it. But she was the mom.
Yeah.
And they don't introduce her until the last season.
Right, yeah.
But the last season takes place over the 3-day span of Ted or of Barney and Robin's wedding.
Okay.
So instead of giving us a season of Ted dating her
right.
and then falling in love and doing like little time jumps here and there,
yeah.
we get stuck with someone else's story. When the show was
sure.
supposed
okay.
to be about
How
Ted.
I Met Your Mother, yeah.
Yeah, and then, yeah, I don't know. It's just, it
do you feel like they just the last season they're like, well, we're going to show how he met her?
No, I think at that point Barney had become so
popular.
Like Neil Patrick yeah. Harris had become so popular as that character,
right?
And Colby Smulders, for whatever reason, became popular. That they went ahead and
okay.
they had been shifting the tone away from Ted for a little
okay.
while anyway. But you know they weren't going to call the show Barney and Robin's failed marriage. So
oh wow, okay.
All right, so the next episode is Crocodile.
No, Archangel.
Oh, Archangel, you're right. Yeah. All right. As much as I'm glad as USS Callister was the first episode, if this would have been the first episode, I don't know if I would have watched anymore.
Okay. So you really didn't like this episode.
I like the premise of the episode.
The way I wrote, like, I just wrote some small notes. I feel like this episode is more effective for people who have kids as a story.
Sure.
Like, I didn't care about... First of all, I don't like that character that played the mom.
Yeah.
I don't like that actress,
Say. What was she? She was in something not too
long
ago.
She's shown up and stuff, and for some reason, I don't like her. She's got a sneery face for some reason.
Yeah.
And I don't, you know, she may be fine for other people, but I just don't like her.
Rosemarie DeWitt.
Yeah.
So...
I don't like her as an actress.
Yeah.
And that was the first thing that turned me off on that one.
Okay.
And then I just didn't care. The story didn't like do much for me because I feel like they used.
She was on Mad Men.
Okay. She's probably one of the characters I did not like on there. But I felt like they used the time jump thing. Mm-hmm. Like, too much as a crutch to fill space for the episode. Like, I didn't need to see the girl aging at all. Like, I didn't need to see the daughter aging. You could have just shown the new actress and called her by name, and that would have been fine.
Yeah.
I didn't need to see her walking past the dog and getting older and the dog not getting older, which didn't make any sense at all. You know,
how did that dog live for him?
That dog lived a lot longer
18.
Than any dog I've ever known to live.
Because it wasn't a puppy when she was a little kid.
It wasn't pretty much an adult dog.
So this episode was directed by Jodie Foster.
Yeah.
I don't know if you knew that.
Yeah,
not.
I knew that. But, once it got to the end, I knew that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think this is an example of a good story idea.
Yeah.
With really poor execution.
Yeah.
None of the actors were exceedingly good.
If Jodie Foster would have played the mom, it would have made the story more believable.
Maybe.
I feel like, you know.
I think the whole... So I'm obviously a parent.
And don't shoot in Canada, because at this point I know Canada well enough that like I was like, oh, hey, that's Canada.
Okay.
Yeah, well, the actor who played the grandpa was a Canadian actor that's been on a lot of Canadian TV series that I've seen.
Right.
So I'm like, oh, they're shooting in Canada. And I'm like, oh.
So
Canada is the character don't work as much anymore.
Yeah. My daughter as a 3-year-old would have followed a cat somewhere.
Well, sure.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't have had my back really necessarily turned to her like that. And, you know, but who's to say she can't slip away?
Right.
At no point in her life would I ever think it's a good idea to inject something into her head.
Sure.
Where I can see through her eyes.
Right.
Never. Now, I tease her constantly about the fact that she has a GPS tracker in the meaty part of her butt.
This is the one thing.
You know.
Well, the idea of a tracker.
Yeah.
Is not a bad idea.
Right.
The idea of being able to see what your kid's seeing is a very bad idea.
And for me,
because this is where it turned into the voyeur thing that was like, you are more disturbed than you think you are.
Where I lost it was the whole idea of parental controls and
blocking.
Where it blocked out the dog. And like when
anything that was terrible,
when her stress level went up.
Well, that's the social justice warrior part of the
story.
But
like her grandpa almost died because of that.
Yeah.
Whereas if, you know, so in this, these are the questions we're supposed to be asking on this show, right? At the end of the day, I didn't like any of the characters enough to care.
Right. That's exactly.
Like if the little girl, if the girl runs, well, she runs away from the mom at the end.
Yeah.
You know,
she beats the hell out of her.
Yeah. She beats her up with the Archangel device, which then is broken.
Right.
I thought the entire time sitting there watching that something was going to happen where that device, she did something like, you know, like she caught the girl having sex, right?
Yeah.
I thought she was going to institute parental controls.
Right.
Like in a situation like that. And then the device would break. And then this girl has to live life without ever seeing danger and then gets hit by a bus or something.
Well, right. Yeah.
You know, the way it ended was I'm fine with.
Well, yeah, because you didn't care about the characters.
But I didn't care about
them.
It's
get
like,
in
yeah,
that
good,
truck.
Good. Beat her.
Yeah. Well,
get in the truck.
Get
with
in the truck
man.
And I don't care where you go. You know, the thing about it is I like that these are tying back to old episodes.
Yeah.
Because that parental control thing ties to the Christmas episode where. he's not allowed to be seen at the end of the episode.
Right. And it ties back to the episode, the first episode with Dr. Doom from Fanforestick.
Yeah.
Where you can see the memories and go back.
Oh, yeah,
and,
yeah. Toby Kobol.
Yeah, Toby Kobol. Yeah. So, yeah.
Skull Eater food?
Yeah. What would you rate this one?
This one I gave a 6 out of 10.
Okay.
Because I think that the idea of the technology was interesting, but there were no likable characters.
Yeah, I'd go a little lower with a 5.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Yeah, it like that part, I was like, yeah, I'm like, I like the idea of the story. It's just it wasn't conveyed well enough. And that it wasn't written well enough, I guess you would say.
Right.
So the next one's Crocodile.
I'm just going to say this is my least favorite episode of Black Mirror ever.
This was?
Ever.
Oh, wow.
I did.
This was not my least favorite episode.
I did not like this episode. I didn't like the actress. I didn't like the idea of the story.
I don't think she was meant to be likable.
Well, no. I certainly... the end of this episode was strictly for shock value.
Yeah.
It had nothing to do with story. you know, the idea that...
I liked the twist at the end.
See, I didn't. I thought it was all for shock value. The killing the baby that ended up being blind.
Well, that's what I liked. That was the only thing I liked. I liked that the hamster...
But you don't have to have the hamster. She can go in and kill that person. Or you don't have to have the baby.
Yeah.
She can go in and kill that person. It comes out and the hamster sees her.
Yeah.
Like, that still works. The killing the baby was strictly for shock value.
Well, no, it was that twist, that Twilight Zone twist where it's like, that baby was blind. It didn't see her anyways. It's like, but the guinea pig did.
Yeah. Well.
Yeah. And it's like, well, you know what? She screwed herself.
Yeah.
By just being, you know, she liked killing.
Yeah. At the end of the day, she was enjoying killing. She was Andrea Riseborough.
Yeah. She was in Oblivion.
Right. She was his partner on the station.
Yeah.
Right? We're an effective team.
Yeah,
I think that was what the ship kept asking them. You're still an effective team?
Because they were the co-astronauts that got captured by the... Spoiler!
Oblivion's
a good movie.
She was really good in that.
She's the least likable character in that movie.
See, and I'm looking forward to her because she's going to be in that new Waco series with Tim Riggins as David Koresh.
Oh, he's playing Koresh?
Yeah.
Okay.
So... I know his name's not Tim Riggins, but I just like
calling John Carter.
I like calling Taylor Kitsch Tim Riggins.
John Carter.
Tim Gambit Carter.
Yeah, there you go.
I didn't like.
Or do we call him John Gambit Riggins? That's better, John Gambit Riggins.
I didn't like anywhere where this trailer or where this show took me in this episode. I felt like it dragged. It was boring.
It dragged in the middle for sure.
I was more interested in seeing the Iceland background.
Yeah, yeah,
than
it had beautiful,
else.
Beautiful visuals.
It has me excited because WOW Airlines is coming to Cincinnati in 116 days, something like that, and we'll be able to fly to Iceland for $99.
Oh, nice!
So, you know, it's like cool.
That's a weekend trip, right there.
Absolutely, yeah. And wife and kid don't have passports, so I'm going by myself.
Oh, I don't have a passport either.
Anyway, but
why do we even have passports?
Well,
I know. I'm joking.
Anyway, I didn't. There's just not a lot I liked about this.
What do you give this one then?
I gave it a 3 out of 10.
This is a 5 out of 10 for me.
Fair enough.
Yeah. So. This was one where there was enough stuff I enjoyed with it. I enjoyed more the insurance agent part of the story.
That was the other thing that bothered me. Because like, okay, is there a fine if I don't let you see inside my head? Like, what is the punishment? Because they said, you know. You're legally mandated to do this.
Right, which means in this world that something has happened that...
But what's the punishment for me just saying to piss off? Yeah. I'm not letting you look inside my
Why
head.
Why did I'll you even open your door?
Here's a ticket. What? Great, I'll go pay the fine tomorrow.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I didn't see anything.
I'm like, hey, killer, why did you open your door? Because you wanted to kill somebody else.
And, you know, and the way she killed the insurance agent was like, I don't know.
The hammer?
Just, yeah. I didn't like anything about this. I wanted
more story with the insurance agent because it's like, is she not happy that she has a kid that's blind?
Yeah.
It's like, she didn't even tell her, like, I have a kid. Yeah. I have a kid. It's like, she didn't do that at all. And it's like, you know, she was more worried about her husband that she could see.
Yeah.
And it's like, did she totally hate her kid?
Because if she says, I have a kid, there's no shock value at the end when you've killed a blind baby.
Well. But that was the thing where I was like, where are these two stories meeting? And then when they met, I'm like, oh, Oh, it's gonna.
Yeah,
it's the kill spree.
I mean, just in my opinion, it didn't work on any level.
Nah.
I think, you know, Charlie, the creator and writer of all these episodes,
Charlie Brooker.
Yeah, like I just think he dropped the ball on this one.
Yeah.
So, and you know, the beauty of all of this,
somebody likes it.
Is if you like it, awesome.
Yeah,
and I'm happy you do.
But visually, I liked it.
Visually, yeah. I mean, I
that's
love
probably why I got a 5 out of 10.
I love Iceland as a background.
Yeah,
you know, that's why I got a 3.
Yeah. Oh, nice.
So, all right.
The guinea pig did a jamming job.
I hate guinea pigs too. Oh, they're so ugly. All right. Next episode, episode 4, Hang the DJ. This was my favorite episode of the series.
Okay.
It's in my top 3 for
this is in the top 3 of this season.
Real quick though, before we go back or go forward, like my thoughts on Crocodile. I know a lot of people don't like the Waldo effect episode. Like a lot of people rank that as the worst, and that is my absolute favorite episode of Black Mirror.
I didn't like that one that much.
And it's fine. I get it. But if you go back and you watch it now with
But you like comedian
on,
stuff and all that.
Well,
and that's
I like
more
the
what
comedian
that is.
Stuff, and I like politics.
Yeah.
And you know, the fact that it came true that we elected a cartoon politician, essentially.
Yeah. Well, I didn't elect him.
America. Like, let's not, like, you know, we're all Americans. We all vote. You know, neither one of us voted for Trump. But anyway. But if you did, awesome. That's you. You believe in what you believe in, and you do it. Okay, Hang the DJ.
Yeah.
This was my favorite episode of the series. Top 3 in the series of all time for me.
Oh, okay.
I'd
have to go back and watch them all again.
I gave it a 9 out of 10.
Okay.
I love.
Don't be mad at me. I gave it a 7 out of 10.
Fair enough, yeah.
Do you want to know why I gave it a 7 out of 10? It's too similar to San Junipero.
Okay, so I think I might have read this a little different than most people.
Yeah.
And so I still, like, I don't think they were ever real. I think this is
they're not real in the thing. It's not it's just a story where it's the dating match thing where it's, you know, match.com.
So
where you go in and it does the algorithm.
But if you caught success,
was
that they rebelled.
Right.
So 98 out of 100 times they climb that wall.
Right.
The other 2 times they either suck it up and deal with the people they don't like or something else. But
so it's just the algorithm thing.
I think it's
like
an algorithm
that.
That's going over and over again.
Right.
Just for a dating
but
app
the
in
story,
general.
The story itself of them meeting and all that stuff was too similar in that sense to me.
Okay.
That I was like, well, I've seen this before.
The idea, for me, the idea that you go on a date and you have an expiration.
Yeah.
From the minute you start.
Right.
Was great. And then.
But then when it gets to the end and it's like, well, that expiration doesn't really matter.
Well, but here's the other thing. Is the expiration does matter because you both have to agree to look at it.
Right.
Because if you never look at it, the clock doesn't actually kick in.
And you're a 100% match.
Right.
Right.
Because it's like, okay, I don't need an expiration. Right. I don't need to know.
This person is perfect for me.
And you know, it took the two of them going on so many bad dates and him having to spend a year with that awful woman and her having to spend, what was it, 9 months with that horrific man who all he wanted to do was bone down.
Right.
To do that. Georgia Campbell as Amy, was amazing in this episode. She was so
she's
going to
be in an episode of The Electric Dreams.
Yeah,
yeah.
Joe Cole as Frank,
was
like, you know, he was heartbreaking. He was such a little nerd, and you loved him, and you know, you just wanted the two of them to work out.
Well, it's like you're cheering for him, but I mean, it was the thing where I'm like, the romance part of it felt too much like San Junipero.
See, and I read it like, oh my god, it's not gonna work out for these two. Because this
oh,
is
I totally
one,
knew it was.
This is one where I feel like it had a pseudo happy ending.
Yeah.
Because I thought
it didn't really have an ending. It just had an ending in the date in the match, the match.com part of it.
I felt like it was gonna end up. She ended up with someone else for like a long term,
right?
And then he was stuck having to do these like short terms,
yeah,
over and over, and running into them, like running into her at things, and it wasn't.
When
and
it's like, you know, how long were they in the same room that it matched them, or was it something where they had just both applied for their match.com?
Yeah, I think,
and
that's
the algorithm
is,
was
yeah.
running, and it finally found them, you know, a 100% match type thing or close to it, and they're both in the same room.
So, yeah. I mean, because he won me over when they had 12 hours.
Yeah.
And they didn't have sex.
Right.
Right. And it wasn't because they didn't have sex, but right. It was because he really liked her.
Yeah.
And he's like, I don't want to mess this up, but crap, I only have 12 hours.
Right.
Like what can I really do? And I feel like they fell in love. Like,
right. Yeah, right away. Yeah.
And it wasn't love at first sight. They fell in love while they were talking and sure. things like that. And then at the end, she's like, oh, I absolutely would have. And he's like, oh,
yeah,
man.
Well, sorry.
And, you know, kind of we talked about how much mother meant to go. Like, you know, there was the thing where Ted wanted to go back and kiss Robin at the beginning.
Yeah.
And he didn't. And then at the end of the series, he's like, did you want me to kiss you? And she's like, yeah. And he's like, oh.
Yeah. Well, there's always that. Right. I mean, I think everybody's had that person where it's like, you know, I really liked you.
Yeah.
Like, you know, especially when you don't see somebody for years mm-hmm. and you're like, you know, if I would have had the chance, and they're like, well, you had the chance. And it's like, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's happened to everybody.
But yeah, I liked how self-contained this was. It felt like a very small world. It wasn't a big world. I didn't want it to be big. It didn't need to be expansive.
Right.
But then at the end with the way this is all a computer simulation.
Right.
It was, I don't know, I really, really enjoyed this. It flew by for me.
Yeah.
I thought it was paced really well. It very easily could have become repetitive.
Right. That's, and it did. I mean, that's what it was. It's like, that's why I got a 7 out of 10. The similarities to other stories, another story that he wrote
right.
was too much
right.
for me, but it was enjoyable enough that, it, yeah. you know, I got a 7 out of 10.
So
now we're moving on to my least favorite episode of this season.
Okay, so number 5 is Metalhead.
Metalhead.
So I just the one sentence synopsis that this one had: a woman attempts to survive a dangerous land filled with robotic guard dogs.
This would have made me not want to watch the episode at all.
Okay, visually,
it was awesome.
Stunning.
Yeah,
like, let me look up the DJ or the DJ. Who's the DJ of this one? The director, real quick. But visually, this one is freaking stunning. David Slade.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know what else you've done, David Slade. I guess I
30 Days a Night.
Did he?
Twilight.
Oh, yeah.
Twilight maybe.
Oh, Hannibal.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this guy, he did some American. Oh, he's a producer on American Gods. Let's see. He's got 22 director credits. All right. Oh yeah, he's done American Gods, Black Mirror, right. like stunning Hannibal. Yeah. 30 Days a Night, like you said.
One or two of the Twilight movies.
Twilight Saga Eclipse.
I think he did the last two.
He did a Breaking Bad. Anyway, so this guy's got chops, right? He's a good
So
director.
Visually, yeah. Like I said, I even said to you, I said I liked the way this looked.
Yeah.
But it sucked.
Yeah.
It sucked. I'm like, I'm sorry. This was just a long, drawn out running across the field. You know, this was the beginning of Lord of the Rings.
This is the end of Lord of the Rings.
Or this was the Two Towers, the beginning of Two Towers, except metal dogs were chasing Legolas across the field.
Okay, so the fact that it was metal dogs.
And then the
again,
reveal
so
at the end.
My problem is the writing.
So the right? reveal at the end, like you said, you had a problem with the reveal at the end of Crocodile. The reveal at the end of this one made me go, are you kidding?
It was a freaking teddy bear.
Yeah.
All right. The fact that this lady runs around bleeding the whole time.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, you know you're bleeding. Shore it up.
Yeah.
You know, she goes into this house and...
At this point, if the world's so bad that it looks like it at the beginning of the show, why does she have a problem with a dead body in a bed that's already been decomposed?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, literally, I'm like sitting there and everything she did, I'm like, wrong, wrong, wrong. Wrong. And then it's like you get to the end and it's like you sacrificed two of your friends for a freaking teddy bear that you didn't even get, and you're not gonna make it back either.
No,
sorry, tell Jimmy I'm not gonna make it back. I don't know what the kid's name was,
but
it's like, sorry, we didn't get his gift for him.
Yeah. And just because it was a sick kid,
you want a teddy bear?
So again, I think just
John Connor wouldn't have let her go out for a teddy bear.
No. It was an actress that I didn't care. Like, I didn't care about what she brought to the screen.
I didn't even know who she is. I thought it was Michelle Pfeiffer at first.
Maxine
and like,
Peake.
Yeah, I don't know.
So I've never even heard of her. But like, yeah, it's just.
At first, I thought it was Michelle Pfeiffer, and then I was like, "Oh, that's not Michelle Pfeiffer."
She was on the British version of Shameless. She was in The Theory of Everything, Keeping Rosie.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just she was in that movie Cake.
Everybody's agent read this story and went, and then she was like, I just need a paycheck.
Yeah, well,
David Slade, you did an excellent job of shooting. It looked beautiful, but that story that you got, I'm sorry you got that story.
Yeah, he got
Charlie
he
Brooker. Got... What the hell?
Yeah,
the worst one before this was not even close to being as bad as this.
I don't know. Crocodile was pretty bad.
Crocodile is 100 times better than this one. At least Crocodile had
actually,
a...
my rating is 100 times better than what I have.
Let me put it to you this way. Crocodile actually had motivation of a story.
Okay.
And that we know why and what fors of what was happening. This one, you didn't know what the hell was going on from the beginning.
So
we're just going to show burnt out cars.
I think the idea of this was...
I like the black and white.
The black and white was great. They wanted to go with the whole less is more. And... we don't want you to know why there's an apocalypse happening.
I didn't need to
know
why there was apocalypse, but I needed to know a little bit more about these dogs. What's the deal? You know, technology run amok. This was literally Charlie Brooker going, oh, well, I'll just do an episode of technology running amok.
But if technology is run amok, then why are these things asleep? Why aren't they constantly just like have a perimeter
running? It's like, why wasn't there just a line dropped in there where, these things were created to protect us and... they went off the rails.
Yeah,
that's all I needed.
They were made to protect us, but the only way to protect us is to kill us.
Yeah, yeah. Something along that lines would have been, and I would have went, okay, that makes sense. But there would have still been no motivation. Like, what's in the box? What's in the box?
And it's not Gwyneth's head.
It's teddy bears. So,
I mean, trust me, I'm all for
And why would a factory have just a random box of teddy bears sitting in there?
I'm all for the robot uprising.
Okay.
I'm all for it. Like, you meat bags when the robots come? Yeah. Selling y'all out.
Okay.
Just understand that right now. But at the
Brian's
end of the day,
all for assimilation.
Yep.
You hear that Borg queen out there in the universe somewhere?
Now I give this one a 6 out of 10.
Okay.
You
three,
know, it's on
three
the
out of 10.
Side. You did a three. Okay.
3 out of 10.
And what did you give Crocodile?
5.
Okay. So I mean I like this a little more than you liked Crocodile.
I
like
Crocodile
this,
a little bit more than this.
Right.
Because the twist ending on this was terrible.
The twist ending was terrible. And there's a lot of visuals in here that I give lots of credit to.
Yeah.
Because
that's why I got a 3 out of 10 is just because it looked good.
Which is why I gave Crocodile 3
out of
10.
Exactly. But this was one where
here's the thing.
David Slade should have directed the Crocodile episode.
You could put this on the TV and not have any sound or have the sound low and be running around doing stuff. And it's a cool episode. Like, it's cool to watch.
Well, then that's a 3 out of 10 there. Okay. Yeah.
All right.
I mean, if you have just visually watching this, that's the 3 out of 10.
Okay. Cool. All right. I agreed with you when you told me you liked 3 and there were 3 that you weren't super high on.
Yeah.
Like I was the other, I was 4 to 2, you know, okay.
But that's been every season, I think, you know, and like,
I mean, I like this
when there's
better...
been an episode where there was 3 episodes, there was one I didn't like or one I didn't like as much. Like, you know, even that episode with the politics and the comedians tough, I liked it.
Yeah.
But I liked it less than the other 2 episodes that season.
I mean, I liked Metalhead more than Archangel.
Okay.
Because, I mean, I only gave Archangel a 5.
Yeah, so. I think Archangel was just the technology part of the story.
Yeah,
made me like it.
Okay,
but all the characters were dislikable. That's
Yeah, I hear you.
Yeah.
All right, so the final episode of season 4 of Black Mirror,
which is my favorite episode of the season,
is Black Museum.
Yeah,
it's my second favorite.
Okay,
just because
was your favorite?
Hang the DJ.
Hang the DJ.
Yeah,
yeah. Okay.
So Hang the DJ and Black Museum are the only 2 I've watched twice.
Okay.
Okay. And this one, you want to talk about technology run amok.
Yeah.
And what I like, okay, so this was Colin McCarthy directed it. I have to see what he's done. But what I like about this one is this is a mini anthology within an anthology.
Yeah.
Which was really, really cool. He does Peaky Blinders, Outcast.
Oh, okay.
Girl with All the Gifts. Oh, he's directing. Oh, he's just directing the Krypton pilot.
He directed The Girl with All the Gifts?
Yeah.
Okay. That makes a lot of sense then.
Yeah. Murphy's Law.
Have you seen that movie?
I have not.
Oh, dude.
It's on Amazon, right?
You got to watch that movie.
Okay. Anyway,
Yeah, he's directing the Krypton pilot, which actually the trailer for that looks really good.
Not Krypton. Krypton. Krypton.
So, as Marlon Brando would say, Krypton.
The Krypton pilot.
So, is it... How do you say her name? It's L-E-T-I-T-I-A. Letitia?
That sounds about right. Yeah.
So, Letitia Wright is so, so good in this.
Yeah.
And she's Shuri in Black Panther.
Oh, okay.
So,
okay.
We have a lot of good stuff to look forward to her. And she's going to be in Infinity War, obviously. But, wow, was she good in this?
Yeah.
You know, playing up the accent.
The tourist.
And the tourist.
Yeah.
And then you have
just
Douglas.
The tourist thing was like great because it's like, you know, she played that surprise mm-hmm. like factor. And it's like, you know, and the best part is, you know, when you find out what she really is.
Yeah.
And this one, I don't feel like I want to spoil this one.
It's not hard to talk about this one without spoiling it.
Right.
What I liked.
Let's put it this way. The twist with her at the end, what you see once it's there, is awesome. But when she's being told the stories of the technology run amok that this mm-hmm. guy was involved with, that is the reason why he opened the Black Museum. Mm-hmm. She plays the role of the tourist so well that it's like you don't see it coming until she's in the room with the last story.
Right.
And once she's in the room with the last story, you got to pay attention to a line she says at the beginning of the story.
Mm-hmm.
And once you realize it, you're like, okay. And then it's like, it's on. At this point, you're like Black Mirror. This is Black Mirror's like at its best.
Agreed.
Because you're like, it's on what's about to happen because you know what's coming at that point.
Douglas Hodge as Rollo Haynes.
Yeah.
And Rollo Haynes is one of the greatest character names in history. He was great. We have Aldous Hodge in this.
Yeah.
Who, and you know, he was Ray Voodoo Tatum on Friday Night Lights.
He's been on everything.
He's been in everything. Yeah. He's such a good actor.
He was on Supernatural.
He was.
Yeah.
But, I mean, he is such a good actor. He was on, what movie was he in not too long ago? Anyway, he was so good. And the way he had to play it. Oh, he was in Straight Outta Compton. He was in Hidden Figures. He was the one.
Oh.
The husband.
Yeah, the one that was romancing her throughout the movie. Yeah.
Anyway, you know, so he's, Jack Reacher. That was, he was in the second Jack Reacher movie. He was really
good.
That's
right. He was. I forgot about that.
That was the one that I watched recently that he showed up and I was like, sweet, it's Ray Voodoo Tatum.
Yeah.
I mean, this was a perfectly cast, but his part of the story, right?
His part of the anthology.
So his wife gets hit by a bus or whatever it was.
Yeah.
Gets run over by a truck.
She's in a coma.
And she's in a coma and they have a kid. And they figure out a way to communicate with her while she's in the coma.
So this
answer yes or no
this,
kind of thing.
This episode literally ties to every Black Mirror episode that's ever been done.
So this easily could have been the series finale.
Yeah. Yeah.
I hope it's not.
It's not. I don't.
But
I think they'll be bad.
This very easily could have been a Black Mirror.
This show is getting more and more popular as it goes by because
it's like Breaking Bad with
the
Netflix.
Word of mouth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
one, it's an easy, accessible show. I mean, what are you talking about?
You don't
about?
Have to watch any of it. You can just watch one episode.
19 episodes, 20 episodes.
Yeah.
I think. Yeah.
But the way he...
But I would recommend don't watch this episode until you've watched at least one of everything else.
Sure.
Because there's...
I think you need to see all of season 1 and 2 before you watch this episode.
Yeah. There's stuff in the museum.
Yeah.
Like, it, literally, watch the episode... Go back, watch the episode, and pause as they're walking through the museum. There's stuff from almost every single episode in there somewhere. And I like that. I like that they did that because it's like, what's going on then? Is this all happening in the same world or not?
There wasn't the robot dog.
Oh.
I'm kidding.
That you've seen.
Yeah.
You know. Yeah.
No, him and Alexandra Roche, she was Carrie.
Yeah.
And he put her in his head.
Yeah.
That was the coolest story.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Because here he has his wife who he loves. Loves her.
Yeah.
And, you know, he wants her to see his kid grow up. And she's in a coma that she's never coming out of. And
right.
And rolls Rollo Haynes.
I can help you out.
I can
The perfect car salesman.
Oh, yeah.
And so he sticks her in the head, and she can take over like feeling of his body, like, or she can experience things that he feels like that. But you know, you get to the point where you start to move on, and the voice in your head
is starting to get to you.
He meets a woman. Rolo shows him he's got actual controls where he can mute her.
Yeah, it's like, I can turn her off.
And so he'll turn her off for like a little bit at a time, and then it goes longer and longer. And then he muted her for what, like a year?
He muted her for like, I think it was like 6 or 7 months.
Yeah, it was a long
time. It was like, she's like, wait a minute, it's Halloween?
Yeah. How long have I
That was the first time he muted her, too. Yeah. Like
that wasn't the first. He muted her for a little bit, but then he muted her
to just show her, I can do this to you. And then when he mutes her, when she really pisses him off, it's like he forgot to turn her back on.
Well, because he met the neighbor, him and the neighbor lady were getting on. And, you know, it was like, now, from her perspective, imagine what it would be like to be stuck in there and he doesn't turn you off.
But she agreed and, like, so quickly.
He starts like having sex with her and stuff. You know,
well,
it's
this
like,
is where it ties back to Archangel. It's like, you know, it's like,
but it's different. She doesn't have control. She's just along for the ride. Well, she can't set a parental control.
This was the experiment that set up Archangel.
Yeah.
I mean, that's really what I felt. It's like this was the precursor to Archangel, which turned into an illegal activity anyways.
Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, that was my second. I mean, obviously, Letitia Wright's story is the best part of this show. Yeah. But this was my second favorite part of the storyline.
The teddy bear thing. When they put her in the teddy bear.
When they put her in the teddy bear.
And
that was rough.
But and the best part about it, like the best part of the story is like, you know, and it's not spoiling anything. The song that's playing ties to the whole story.
Oh, yeah.
And I liked it. Like as bad as Metalhead felt to me. And, you know, as sour as Crocodile was, this one made up for both of those to me because he literally pulled everything in that he's done and just made it a museum.
Now, imagine
it felt like he was Rolo.
Yeah.
And he was just telling the stories about the stuff that he came up with ideas for.
Yep.
And it's all real.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like this episode could have not existed at all. Like Black Mirror is this episode. Like everything we see on Black Mirror is in this museum.
Right.
And that, and it's like, I think somewhere out there, there's a website that tells you everything that's in there.
Yeah, there
and
is.
And it's like, you know, yeah, it's cool. But I'd say go back. If you're a fan of the show, go look first and then go to that and be like, oh yeah, I missed that one. Or, you know.
Now, what if Metalhead would have been the last episode of the season?
I would have been pissed off. Yeah. I would have been pissed.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. That would have been where I would have just said, Netflix, don't do anymore. Don't do anymore. Because I mean, Metalhead had such a disappointing, like, ending.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think the ending did not fulfill anything. Where the ending of this, like, you got three awesome...
Is this
awesome,
a happy ending?
It's a satisfying ending.
Okay.
It's not, like, you know, it's the same as Hang the DJ. Very satisfying ending. Callister had the happiest ending of this whole season.
Maybe of the whole series.
maybe of the whole series, yeah. But of satisfying endings, this and Hang the DJ had the most satisfying.
Yeah.
Crocodile had a good ending because you knew that she was going to get what she deserved.
Right.
And that, and you know, sucked for her, but but yeah, it's like Archangel, I didn't care. You didn't care enough about the characters in Archangel to really care about the story.
Right.
And, you know, even though I gave it what I gave it. Black Museum, once you get to the end, you care about everything that happened in that story.
You care about Rolo.
Oh, like, yeah.
You care about them all.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know? Yeah. This was a...
Rolo was the first, like, real villain, I feel like, on Black Mirror.
Sure.
Like the, you know, like I told you, and I forget the name of the episode last year with the bees and that. The end of that episode was like the best ending they've done.
Sure.
Because it was that Hannibal-esque type, you know, Silence of the Lambs ending. But the good guy was going to win in the end.
Right.
And this one was probably the second most satisfying ending for me.
Yeah.
Because I was like, yeah, you know, the whole story tied together. And like you said, it's a anthology within the anthology.
Mm-hmm.
But it just felt like it was, you know, them telling us three stories that happened in the Black Mirror universe. And then, you know, here we go.
Okay. So
you,
Rollo,
you looked up the stuff, didn't you?
No, I'm looking at Rollo Douglas Hodge.
Yeah.
I'm trying to figure out why he looked familiar. He's in Penny Dreadful.
Oh, okay.
Catastrophe. Have you watched Catastrophe yet?
No.
That's a good one. That's on Amazon. But he was Sir Robert Locksley in Ridley Scott's Robin Hood.
Man, it's been so long since I've seen that.
I just watched it again the other night. So,
because isn't somebody else in that?
Oscar Isaac.
Oscar Isaac. Yeah, King that's Gong. What you were telling me.
Where if you go back and you
he's
watch
super
it,
super skinny like, in it though, isn't
yeah,
he?
Yeah. Oh yeah, he looks. Because he's a little guy.
Right.
And so yeah.
Interesting.
Man, this guy's got a great resume.
The funny thing about looking at a lot of these actors, they haven't done Doctor Who, but they're British actors.
There's a couple who have. There's a couple that have, but like one episode.
Most of the British actors, you're like flipping through and you're like expecting to see Doctor Who, and they don't do Doctor Who. Yeah, I'm like, okay. It's like, does Charlie Brooker go after the people who haven't been on Doctor Who?
Yeah, they've all been in Harry Potter. No,
which I finished that now. The last season of Doctor Who.
I still haven't.
So it was good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like. I'm, you know. All right. So Black Mirror season 4 overall.
Yeah.
I feel like there's 4 episodes worth watching.
Overall, like season, I'd give it an 8 out of 10.
Okay.
Yeah. As bad as the 2 that I really thought were bad were, it's worth the watch.
Yeah.
Like Brian said, you could probably mute Metalhead. And it'd be more enjoyable.
Yeah.
And I might do that. I might just sit there and let it play with no sound.
Like while I'm doing something else. Or, yeah. You know, vacuuming. Yeah.
But I literally, like, I told you about Black Mirror. I heard about Black Mirror from through Night of Living podcast.
It was you and Kenny.
Who?
You and Kenny. Were really like, you need to watch this. You need to watch this. And I'm like, I don't want to watch a horror thing.
When I had watched it way before I knew Kenny had watched it. Because, like...
But you guys were talking
years
about
ago,
it.
Years ago, Night of Living podcast had talked about it. And it was one of those BBC shows where it wasn't here yet.
Right.
As soon as it showed up on Netflix, I had watched it. And I'm like, what did I just watch? And that's, you know, from that point on, I was telling you, you got to watch this
show.
Well,
you told me about it after you watched it when it hit Netflix, when it was just seasons 1 and 2 there.
Yeah.
And it lived on my list 3 years?
Right.
Two years? Something like that? For a long time without me ever having taken a look at it. And you know, at the end, so since 2000, it's been going on since 2011.
Right.
So let's say since 2014, it's been on my list.
Right.
So for 4 years or three years. And I didn't watch it until this past year.
Right.
But man, it is.
Yeah. You watched this really season good. Before I even got a chance to watch this season.
Yeah. Well.
So it was just one of those things where it's like, yeah, that's the power of this show is that I tell people, if you just want to watch a cool, like sci-fi horror type show, this is the show to watch. Like of modern stuff.
Yeah.
Of course, I refer people to Twilight Zone and Outer Limits and, so you know, Friday the 13th, the series.
This feels so much
one.
More like the Outer Limits than anything else.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, it's got Twilight Zone and Outer Limits feel to it.
So I see a lot of like the Mashable blogger type people who reference Twilight Zone.
Yeah.
But it's because they are so young. They've never heard of the Outer Limits.
Well,
or they're not into the genre enough.
Well, and the Outer Limits isn't like on a streaming.
So. Yeah.
Twilight Zone streams on Netflix.
That's true.
And it's like, if Netflix could get the Outer Limits, that would be awesome. I wish they would.
If Netflix
and the thing
Hulu
is with Twilight Zone, Sci-Fi Channel runs it every year on New Year's.
Yeah.
It's like, it's the thing where I don't know what the rights are with Outer Limits because there was the newer series too.
But
there was
the
a
newer
new Twilight
series
Zone.
Wasn't bad.
No, the new series was pretty awesome. it was a precursor to Black Mirror.
Yeah.
It had more of the technology stuff in it than even the old Outer Limits did, but the old Outer Limits had technology. Like Robot was one of the first episodes.
Yeah.
And that, but you know, I tell people that are in the know, fellow geeks, that this is a twisted version of Outer Limits, Twilight Zone, and Friday the 13th the series.
Yeah.
Because Friday the 13th the series always had to do
and
with
amazing
an
stories.
Object. Well, yeah.
So.
But Friday the 13th series always had
always
to do
had
with
an object.
Yep. And there's always an object in this, you know, for better or worse.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I mean, you know,
so
I look forward
10,
to what's coming.
I might do a little lower just because, like, I just thought that Archangel and Crocodile were so weak.
Yeah.
But that being said, you know, 4 out of 6.
Weak for different reasons, though.
They were weak for different reasons. But 4 out of 6, that's a good season in my book.
Well, and all thought of this, it's Charlie Brooker's show.
Yeah.
So Charlie Brooker can do whatever story he wants to put on whatever story he wants to.
And I like that he writes every episode.
Yeah. And the thing about it is, you know, I think it helps or hurts the episode depending on who the director is.
Yeah.
And like I said, David Slade did a good job visually on that episode. It's just that episode had no motivation to it. It was 40 minutes long.
Yeah.
It was the shortest episode, I think, ever of Black Mirror.
Okay. Yeah, Black Museum was 1 hour and 9 minutes long, by the way. So, but it never felt like 1 hour and 9 minutes.
No. The story, the pace of the story was so good. The doctor's story is so disturbing.
USS Callister, it felt a little long.
Felt like it.
But Black Museum did not.
Yeah.
Hang the DJ did not feel long.
No, it didn't feel long at all.
So, all right.
I mean, the Hang the DJ, you root it for the characters, obviously. That was a very, very good episode to root for the characters, because that doesn't happen a lot on Black Mirror.
No.
And so that was probably where it helped it and hurt it for me at the same time.
Which episode was it where it was they kept hunting the guy over and over again because he was a pedophile or something, and that was like his court thing?
Oh, where, like, I don't remember.
They let him think he escaped, and then they hunt him down in the woods.
Was
and
that
then,
second or third?
It might have been the second series, but where they wipe his mind, and like that was one where it's like, man, there's just no one to root for in this, because like the justice system here is so wrong, you can't do that. And then the whole anyway. Yeah, I do like a 7.5. I might go as high as an 8 out of 10 for this one. But it's really because I just disliked Crocodile that much. And I disliked Archangel.
Yeah.
Metalhead
dragged the season down for me.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, Archangel was just like,
I mean, Archangel's the one I'm on the fence about, you know? So...
like I said, if you're a parent, it might be more effective emotionally, like in some way or another for you.
Yeah.
It might make you hate it more.
Yeah. It wasn't that.
Yeah.
So, okay. So I gave the USS Callister 8.5, and I gave Black Museum 8.
Yeah.
And the reason for that is because I don't think there was any other way they could have started the series off. So I gave it like a little extra.
Okay.
Like for this season.
I gave Black Museum 9, Callister 8. Yeah. So,
and, you know, I mean, my favorite, like I said, my favorite episode is still Hang the DJ, and that was 9. But the point of distinction between USS Callister, Hang the DJ, and Black Museum is, you know, honestly, like any day of the week, that number could switch on which one I think is the best. Yeah. And that's a testament to the acting and the directing and the writing.
Right.
So,
definitely.
Alrighty. Well, anything else you want to talk about?
Nope, that's it. We've ran long twice now. This year we've already done 2 episodes that were
we've run long the last couple weeks.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Anyway. All right, guys.
We'll try to just go back to 1 hour.
We'll be back next week with something. We don't know yet. Well, I have an idea, but I'm still researching it. Anyway.
Okay.
All right. Talk to you later.
Let me know.
Bye.
Bye.
The Infest Podcast is recorded in Kings Mills, Ohio, just north of Cincinnati. You can find new episodes every Friday on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, our website, or anywhere podcasts are downloaded. This show is hosted by Johnny Podorf and me, Brian Tudor. Those amazing banners that go with our show notes, those are designed by Johnny, and the show is mixed and engineered by me. Our intro music is Moose from bensounds.com. You can find more information about the show online at infamouspodcast.com or follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Infamous Podcast to stay up to date on the latest news about the show and find out what's going on in the world of comics, movies, TV, and more. We also have a Patreon page, patreon.com/infamouspodcast. We have some great rewards for our patrons, and what we're looking for is help to grow the show to keep bringing you more of the content you want to hear. You can find Johnny on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram as @JohnnyPodorf, and I'm on most social networks as @BrianTudor. So whenever you're listening to us, have a great day, night, evening, weekend, whenever it is, and we'll see you next time. Thanks for listening. Later.